Grady, you gotta give me a No Coast is the Best Coast.
No Coast is the Best Coast.
All right, everyone, welcome again to another episode of the No Coast Show. I am your host, presenter, Jake Long. Thank you for coming back for this episode and any other episode you decide to download. We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, a little bit of everywhere. And thank you again. Like and subscribe. Leave a review if you want. They don't really matter to me. They'll tell you they matter. They absolutely don't matter. But any and all is appreciated. Getting into one of my annual favorites, the October email inbox dump, the Ask Jake Anything, the 2022 version. So without further ado, here we go. Let me see. I like to go a lot off the cuff. There's a couple of these that I did, full disclosure, make a few notes on. Mostly just going to roll right off the cuff as I see them. But starting out with, Jake, how are you? I'm good. How are you? Thank you for that submission. Do you have any, or are you making any more NoCo swag? I plan on putting together something. I want to do either a t-shirt or hat, stocking cap, something like that. Always appreciate everybody wanting to rep the brand, and it's fun to see everybody doing so. I appreciate all the support, and we'll try and get some of that made up soon enough. Next is, are you drinking a Twisted Tea? Right? No, I am not. I am currently out. Need to get to the grocery store to get more. Not currently enjoying a Twisted Tea, just a glass of ice water. Going with that, seeing what happens. What is your favorite color? Favorite color is orange. Not burnt orange. I am a Texas guy. Just more of a, you know, like the MS Awareness orange. Just a typical orange, like fluorescent orange as well. But favorite color is orange. What are the top five American rock bands ever? All right. In order, Aerosmith, Guns N' Roses. Wow. Those are my top two. Aerosmith, Guns N' Roses. Then I'm going to go, shoot, Metallica, Pearl Jam, and Foo Fighters. Those are my five. That was off the top of the head. I'm sure I bricked on somebody. I got to get I'm going to dump out Metallica. Let me go start over. Go Aerosmith, Guns N' Roses, Beastie Boys, Pearl Jam, then Foo Fighters. That's my top five. Couldn't leave out the Beasties. Huge Beastie Boys fan. Who are the best male and female players in the state? Ladies first, Liz Dyke is absolutely the best female player in the state, in my opinion. She's better than half the guys who are hitting play and listening right now. If that upsets you, hit stop and go away. But it's true. Fantastic. She's a trip. Sweetheart of a gal. I like Liz. I like me a lot of Liz. Anthony as well. Biz is a good kid. Best male. Said it once, I'll say it again. Chambers is my franchise guy, so I'm going to stick with Austin. No secret, I'm a fan of his personally and softball-wise. I just think, again, the reason being, both he and Liz, I think you can pull them out of a hat. Saying they're playing shortstop batting eighth doesn't matter. They're still going to do it better than half the people who are going to try and get it done. That is why I just their versatility and their overall skill is why I make them the best male and female players currently, in my opinion. Love to hear yours as well. Best and worst national brand hot dogs. Hebrew National are pretty damn good hot dogs. I like me some Hebrew Nationals. Worst, Nathan's are pretty overrated. They really are. Like, I think Joey Chestnut deserves a medal for eating as many of those as he does because they are really dense all-beef dogs, even though they're kind of slims. But so best, I'm going to go Hebrew National. Worst, I'm going to go Nathan's. Who is the most famous person you know? Most famous person I know, I went to high school with James Valentine, the lead guitar player for Maroon 5. Good kid, can't and won't say a bad thing about him. That being said, have not really had contact with him in very many years. So my answer, and we've been playing hit and miss to get him on the show, but is Brandon Bullock, former Stanley Cup champion with the Chicago Blackhawks. Knew Brandon, lived with his host family was a close family friend of ours when he played junior hockey here in Lincoln for the Lincoln Stars. But Brandon Bullock, trade texts with him all the time. Shout out to Brandon and Dana, little guy, Beckham Bullock. He's got to be a couple months old now. Beast of a kid. Proud of you, Brandon, always, and we'll be in touch about doing a show. But most famous person I know is Brandon Bullock, former NHLer. Give us some more no-brainer Insta accounts to follow. In no particular order, Mr. Dave Hill. I know Ben and I are always sending his stuff back and forth. He's low-key just hilarious. Retro NYC. Again, if I could have grown up probably in any time, it would have been the 70s in New York City. Love the music scene, especially CBGBs, all those low-key clubs. And like Retro NYC is right up my alley, like Son of Sam era. I know that sounds terrible, but you know, early 70s to early 80s, New York City. A lot of shots from there posted on that account. Brilliantly Dumb. Bobby Fairways is hilarious. He's not as famous as he should be. Really great follow. The Angela White. Angela White, enough said. Go find out for yourself why. Local guy I want you guys to give a follow. You've probably seen him. I'm sure he pops up once in a while on Facebook or Instagram. Jason_Norton77. He's, from my knowledge, he's an Iowa guy. He's always getting suggestions on drinks, so he'll make he'll get a suggestion someone submits to him about a mixed drink, and he'll give it a shot and give his honest opinion. And most of the time, he's never tried it before, but obviously he's familiar with some of the ingredients. But really fun one to follow. Curb Clips, Kirby Enthusiasm, huge fan. Just obviously snippets from the show throughout the years, and if you haven't or don't watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, you are absolutely positively missing out on a big part in life. Love Curb Your Enthusiasm. Find another one here. Jake been dabbling in the stock exchange, buying a lot of meme stocks. So GameStop, hold it or sell it? I say hold it, and here's why. Because it's bullshit. And you're helping it be bullshit, and I want you to keep it being bullshit. That company has been printing stock options that they can't back. The NYSE can't back. It's all bullshit. They don't want you to sell, or they want you to sell it to get it off their books. So I say hang on to it and keep it on their books, because, again, all stocks are supposed to be held and sold in proper order. So basically, the best way to describe the New York Stock Exchange for those, and I'm not a stockbroker, but as I have been explained it. So I'm going to use a correlation. I like using those. When you go to Vegas, for example, okay, all of the casinos, and I know it's a line in Ocean's 11, but it is absolutely true. The Nevada Gaming Commission mandates that any and all chips in play on the floor in all the casinos have to be backed dollar for dollar, okay? They can't sell you chips, or they can't cash out your chips without having every single available chip that is on the floor in players' hands or at the tables be backed in their vault, okay? So similar idea with stocks. They are supposed to be backed by actual shares and value in the company. So that's why I love meme stocks, because they're these dead brand companies that have to keep selling stocks. So they'll just keep selling them when there's nothing behind them. So worst case scenario, you may lose your money, but bringing down a bullshit, absolute paper industry, I'm all for. I'm not big on the stock market right now. I'm somewhat vested in it, full disclosure, for my retirement, whatnot, but I'm trying to loosely get out of it and get more into mutual funds and IRAs, more solidly backed. Precious metals is still great to get in. They always hold their value, and they're also a physical tool to be able to trade. I still believe in that. You know, my tinfoil hat, I like putting it on once in a while, and it's fitting real nice right now. Get yourself into precious metals or trade goods, because those are real. All right, I'll get off that one for a second. Next one, what has been the biggest challenge in your USSSA state director role? For me and for teams and players, it's breaking old habits. Trying to get everybody where they belong, or where I at least think they belong, getting to know everybody, breaking old habits of just believing things are the way they are across the board. And it's like, no, it's not. It's different over here. Again, the metaphor I used, I've decided to open up a barbecue joint, but I still like eating fried chicken once in a while. So hope you want to come try my barbecue. But hey, you know, fried chicken prepares their food a different way. I prepare mine my way, along with the help of USSSA. So give us both a shot. But yeah, it is not the problems you... And there might be problems you have with my barbecue joint. Maybe you don't like the sauce. That's perfectly fine. I just wanted you to give it a try, and hopefully I can sell you a great plate of food and you enjoy it and come back again. That's literally what it is. I'm in a customer service role, and I want to service my customers as best I can, which you all are, players and teams. So, again, started off real nice this year. A couple of events that went really smoothly. And looking to build more in 23, going to be kicking some of that stuff out towards the beginning of 23. So I'm excited. Hope you are too. Great partnership so far with Pure Sports, puresportstech.com. Go check them out. The 23 models I'm going to be getting in my hand pretty soon for you to both try and buy, and have some great pricing on that. But really excited to help extend their brand and maybe get Chris, the founder, on to do a show with me and get his story. But been really great working with them so far, and their product is top notch. Gonna try and get my hand on the Hellfire. It's a real hot USA bat that has sold out right away, and hearing a lot of great things about it. Want to try it for myself. So that is definitely something I'm looking forward to. I know there's also... The Hellfire is a 13-inch barrel. They're working on a 12-inch barrel, the Sidewinder. I know there's videos out there of Andrew Collins and Jason Branch. Andrew is swinging the Hellfire. Jason is swinging the Sidewinder. Still working on getting that passed and tested, but hopefully that one's rolling out as well. Also, the NDM lines, again, Andrew and Jason's signature models. Pure is really coming on strong in the market. I've had Integrities before. I've swung that NDM3. It's a real nice game-ready bat. So, again, looking forward to the relationship moving forward with them, and, again, their continued support of me and the platform. So thank you again to Chris and Clint in sales and marketing. Definitely had a great dialogue with Clint. So, again, looking forward to everyone working with everyone on the Pure Sports team. Are you going to do a Bigfoot show soon? Hell yes, I am. I need to talk about some Sasquatch with some true believers. Just get it out there. Spread that kind of... That's the kind of fun misinformation I want to start spreading, not other nonsense. That's where I'm going with the show. Softball, obviously, is a baseline, and it's a passion we all share, but I want to share the rest of your passions as well. And there are a lot of Bigfoot enthusiasts out there, so definitely look forward to getting a group together, and if you'd like to participate, please, by all means, shoot me a message. We'll try and get it lined up, a couple, three of you, blow the frost off a couple of tweez, and talk about Sasquatch, Yeti, Bigfoot, all of it. Jake, what number am I thinking of? Three. I don't know if I'm right or wrong. When in doubt, always guess three. Because there's not one, there's not two, there's always three. Three sides of everything. The truth, their side, this side, and the truth in the middle. Three. Always go with three when somebody asks you a random number. 73 is the greatest number in the world, though. But I don't think that's what you're thinking of. Maybe it's 9. I don't know. Let me know. What? Let's see. Get to a couple more. What is the worst shot you can buy someone at a bar? A dead Mexican goat, by far, is the worst thing you can do to a human being other than make them siphon gasoline and swallow. Dead Mexican goat, for those who don't want to have to Google it, it is, and I always go with rail tequila. So you buy rail tequila, which is, again, glorified gasoline. Rail tequila with hot sauce and milk. That is a dead Mexican goat. Have fun with that one. Biggest bar tab you've ever run up? I've been a part of a... Heather and I went out with some friends years ago after, I think it was like Sunday night co-ed or something like that, and they were selling bricks of Jägermeister, and I want to say there were five or six of us sitting there. I think the bill touched $1,000, and Heather and I's share was somewhere between $250 and $3. In Jägermeister. And to her credit, she's the only one of the six of us that went to work the next day. So shout out, honey. Love you. Not the reason why I married you, but one of many. Worst tournament you have ever played in and why? I don't know if it's any different. I haven't heard a lot of positive things, but the worst tournament, in my opinion, I've ever been to was the Panama City WSL Worlds in, we'll call it 2005, just for argument's sake. I went to two or three of them because I'm a sucker and somebody else paid for a plane ticket. But true story, the complex was actually really nice down there. But I mean, Florida's humidity is next level. And it was like a September turn. It was like a Labor Day weekend tournament. Or actually, take that back, mid-September. Florida humidity, you can literally brush away from your face like cigar smoke. They're running it at multiple complexes, and it was absolutely controlled chaos. They probably should have taken 60 or 70 teams. I think they were running like 90, so they were over capacity. They were running literally 24-hour-a-day games over like 3 days. At one point, true story, we were at a complex that was 13 miles away each way. And it's not like a good, you know, interstate 13 miles. It's pretty much like, I know it's not terrible, but again, given an idea, there was what much more dense traffic down there, but all those living in Omaha, go from Village Point Mall to Bellevue. Okay. But you got to get there in 20 minutes, or I'm sorry, 15 minutes, because their game times were just absolute nonsense. You lost at like 2:30, and you had to be at the other complex by 3. So they staggered the times thinking that that would work. So the complex we were at, games were on the half hour. At the main complex, games were on the hour, and they thought that was good enough. And it absolutely, I mean, we're talking Smokey and the Bandit kind of run. You could barely make it in a half an hour, and that was starting out in your car, not even taking your shit off, putting in your bat bag, walking out to the parking lot, getting everybody loaded up, figuring out guys and gals or what have you in bat bags and putting them in the rental and getting over there. Absolute disaster of a tournament. I don't know if it's any better or worse, but fuck it ever again. If they run it that way, I think they still run down there. But yeah, by far, WSL in Panama City was the worst. Panama City is not a great town either. I mean, especially if after you're 21 years old, it takes a real weird turn. It's not like a cool destination like Pineapple Willie's or Spinnaker's or whatever, Club La Vila, you know, Hard Pass. But I'm old. What is your dream car? Easy question here. For me, my dream car, absolutely positively, is the Chevelle. It's like a 70s Chevelle. I would want the actual car from Dazed and Confused. So Wooderson's car, the black Chevelle with the racing stripes. That would be my dream car. I do like me one of the newer Dodge Challengers, Plum Crazy, preferably. God, chewing on words today. Plum Crazy Challenger currently, but if I can have any car, It's going to be the screen used Melba Toast. Where is the state trophy headed next? It is headed back to, or is presently back in Broken Bow. Took it to Austin and Aaron Meyer's wedding. Shout out to Austin and Aaron on a lifetime of happiness. It was fun to see you guys again, and it was a beautiful time out there. Really great time I had. Got a picture with the bride and groom. Tanner snuck and photobombed it, got in there as best man, so it was great to see the Meyer brothers, and Aaron was beautiful on her wedding day, as always. And so, yeah, then the trophy was handed off to Josh Arnold, and last I knew, he had it. So Josh touched it last, but again, why I love Heather so much, she got me a replica made. It's a smaller version with all the guys' names on it, and I love it to death. I've shown the boys in our text string. And again, I had a lot of fun with it. I know some people rolled their eyes or laughed or whatever, but hey, it was my first. Not sorry. It's what everybody needs to do. Have some fucking fun. It's a game. I was proud of what we accomplished, and it took so long to accomplish. And, you know, until someone dethrones us next year, it's still ours for a year. So, hey, why not enjoy it? But still plan on getting up there to Bow to see the boys and get a few more pictures taken with it. But it was fun. It was a fun couple months to have it at the house and just smile and look at what you waited so long to accomplish. For those that have, they get it. For those still wanting to, keep grinding. You'll get there. I promise. Just don't quit. But yeah, state trophy is last known to be in Broken Bow, Nebraska. Jake, what is your favorite cartoon? Scooby-Doo. Anyone over 40 and their answer is not by default Scooby-Doo. They've never seen a good cartoon in their life. Just like the what's your favorite TV show. If they don't say like Dukes of Hazzard or the A-Team or something like that. Yeah, and you're over 40. Yeah, your opinion's invalid. Those are the answers. Red-blooded American male. Favorite cartoon is Scooby-Doo. Your favorite TV show is the A-Team or the Dukes of Hazzard. Done. Just like sitcom, it's like Married with Children. Married with Children is like the answer. It really is. So those are good. Roseanne's a hell of a TV show too. I liked me some Roseanne, because I definitely could relate to the dynamic in Roseanne. Somebody asked, there was a debate, like the best TV dad of all time. And I'm like, no, it's Dan Connor. It's not Al Bundy. It's Al Bundy or Dan Connor. One of those two. I'm a Dan Connor guy, but Al is an acceptable answer. Anyone other than that, again, male between 30 and 45, that's got to be the answer. 35 and 45, it's got to be the answer. Either Al Bundy or Dan Connor. Jake, can I be on the show? No. You know, some of you listening, maybe like to do more. I'm going to, you know, a house is getting kind of tore up here shortly. We got to get some repairs done, but I think I'm going to lean more into doing some phone call shows. I think the sound, I've done a couple with Trey and Luke, and I have done one, and the sound ends up okay. So I'm very thankful for that. So I think I'm going to lean into that more. Obviously, as I spoke earlier, trying to get Brandon on the show. Going to have to probably do a phoner with him unless I want to go to Chicago or he wants to come here. I don't quite have the Rogan budget to fly everybody in and out. So it's always a goal. But yeah, definitely going to lean more into phoner shows and been working on some different ideas for shows that, again, I'm going to lighten the mood because I need it for me and I hope you need it for you too. But more fun topics and just ridiculousness and silly that we always get into at or around softball tournaments, but for sure going to integrate that more into the show, even non-softball. Let's just talk about life. Let's talk about people liked the baseball player list. I'm going to find some lists, or if you have a list you want me to take a peek at, send it, you know, nocoshow@gmail.com or shoot any of the social media at nocoshow on Twitter. At Noco Show, obviously on Facebook's the easiest way to find it, or Noco Show on Facebook or Instagram at Noco Show. But yeah, Always love lists, especially ones that drive me nuts. There was one. Oh, I'm going to bring it back up. My boys on Man vs. Model brought it up. It was the list of the best HBO shows of all time, and it was hot garbage. Clearly, someone around the age of 25 came up with this thing who had never seen a good TV show in their adolescent or adult years, but a lot of glaring omissions too. But I'm going to go find that one and go deep on that another time. But love me some lists, so please shoot me those if you see them around or tag me in a post, whatever you see fit. Happy to always take a look at them and go from there. All right, let's take a peek at the next question. What is your best advice for petitioning down my PRV or player roster value for you, SSSA? Okay, preface the answer by saying this. I do not have final decision. I have input on whether you drop or people get bumped or frozen. Oh, I mean, I can freeze rosters and all that jazz. But all final decisions go through the national board. That being said, my best advice for petitioning down, if you want to petition down, program always encourages going up. So self-bumping is admired and appreciated. A couple of my teams this year decided to do that and had some pretty decent results. So I hope if you all see it the same way too, just challenge yourself as a team and a player and go from there. But my best advice for petitioning down, be honest. Give real reasons. Don't give me this bullshit about, oh, I want to play with my friends. Well, that's fine and dandy, but you know, there are things in life that your friends are better than you or you're better than your friends at. Hang out with them after the tournament or hang out with them another time, but sometimes softball isn't the place to hang out and it sucks. But that's coming from me where some of my closest friends in the game, I have no earthly business playing softball with them, whether it be skill disparity, age, all of it. I find other avenues like this cast to get a hold of them and chat them up, or league. It's just league, bro. Go play some league with your friends. But be honest. So, for example, I'm going to use this myself as an example, but I know I've run into it where, let's say, they're not butthurt. Let's say, I know it's going to sound silly, and go ahead and hit pause and laugh, and then hit play and listen. But let's say Tease picks me up for a tournament. Okay, I'm currently a D card in USSSA. Shaw calls me up and says, hey man, we need a warm body and you're the last left in line and you're the guy that can go, so why don't you come to Florida with us or whatever, okay? So, yeah, that'll increase my player roster value from D to A, which does happen. He's got a couple of guys that have gone from, you know, E to B or E to A or what have you, D to A, in a year or two. So it's not a completely impossible scenario. It just is for me being the example. But that being said, it takes me along. Let's say he gives me an at-bat, or I just, you know, I'm the 13 and T's 13 and everybody else gets the job done, have a great tournament, decent showing, what have you, okay? One, that is a risk that I assumed by doing that. You all have decisions and decisions have consequences. So pick and choose wisely who you get picked up by. That's the first piece of advice I'm going to give you. But that being said, let's say he immediately even drops me afterwards, which can help. So if you're going to pick up with a team like that, my best advice is get dropped right away. No matter who it is, if you're an E player getting on a C team or a week for a weekend to go down to Boo and Brew, which just happened this past weekend, or whatever, to get back on your regular team. A lot of teams grab guys and gals to combine up forces and go down there. One thing I will just tell you in general, get dropped right away afterwards, because sometimes people just forget. Like I have no problem with it, of course, but I ended up being a D national bump because I did not remember to get myself dropped, and I'm an accountability guy. I did not ask the team to drop me after the tournament last year that, well, the tournament I picked up with them, I got left on their roster, and USSSA doesn't have time to, for the most part, when it comes to end of season bumps and stuff, they're going to bump a team in the roster, and then that is what the petitioning period from January 1 to January 31st is. And we'll get more into that. I'm going to do a longer form show on it, but best advice is just be honest. Hey, so in my case with the tease example I gave, sorry, I got a roundabout way. You go into your player profile, you log in. There's at the bottom, it says, you know, there's drop downs and fields. You can write me a book if you want, and I actually would prefer it if it's well reasoned. But for myself, I would go in, and I actually don't look at my own. Mine go, someone actually asked me that. Sorry, I'm digressing a little bit. But for me to do anything having to do with a team of my own or my own player profile, it goes to the national board. I don't have control over myself. I can't pick and choose my own card or anything like that. I can get myself dropped. I mean, obviously I have admin, you know, so I can go in and drop myself. But as far as anything about handling a petition down or frozen, no. I if I get frozen, I get frozen. Anyway, sorry. So you go in there, and for my example, hey, look, 44 years old. I have been a D player, real, real few and far between interaction with the C level for my whole time playing in the program. Went down to Florida with, you know, decided to tease, needed an extra guy, picked up with him. I did, and say this stuff like this. So be specific, like, I batted once, or I did not even take an at bat. I was literally on the roster to help fill out a roster. Be honest with your experience, okay? If that is your experience as well. But if, you know, you went down there and you played with him the whole time and helped him take a top five and this, this, and this, hey, I'm sorry. Again, your actions have consequences. You're going to be stuck there, or we may be able to help. So again, let's say that was the case, that I get, you know, Shaw was like, well, Jake, you're going to throw and blah, 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 this, this, and this. So chuck and duck, shake well, and good luck. Okay, so let's say blah, 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 have a nice run, pitch my way, and, you know, the team, we end up fifth, so we get a national bump or whatever the criteria is. Okay, so, you know, my PRV is now A. I went from D to A. Can still try and ask unless it's a national bump, which, you know, national bump, I'm going to be stuck at A for 1 year, which, hey, again, actions have consequences. I'm repeating myself for a reason. Sucks to be me for a year. I can only play in open events or hope Shaw needs a guy. Again, these are things you need to think about when you're taking that big of a jump or even a jump period. Like I said, you know, if you're on an E roster and decided to pick up with Pioneer Auto, go down and play C for Boo and Brew, if they did well enough and got bumped and froze, or not frozen, but nationally bumped, and you're still on that roster, you know, again, that's where the key is. Get on and get off the roster as soon as possible. That's my best advice. But for petitioning down, be honest. Tell the truth. Don't give me or the national board, I just want to play with my friends, or come to find out, I only really played one tournament with them. Well, if come to find out we know different, then, you know, if you're lying to us, that's not going to help your cause. So, you know, again, enjoy your new rating. But that would be my best advice for petitioning down. Next few are a little lighter hearted. Name a movie sequel that is better than the original. Hangover 2 is better than the first Hangover. That's the one that immediately comes to mind. Go with that. Terminator 2 is better than Terminator. So that's another one. Shout out Jesse Schuessler. We were talking about that the other night. But yeah, my answer by default is Hangover 2 is absolutely better than Hangover 1. I think it's the best of the three. what is the best ESPN 30 for 30? My favorite, I'm pretty sure it's a 30 for 30. If it's not, whatever, it's my favorite. I'm going to answer it. Okay. My favorite one I've ever seen was the Fab Five one, because that was absolutely my wheelhouse. Those kids changed the game of basketball right before my eyes. I was a young teenager, 12 or 13 years old, when the Fab Five at Michigan came onto the scene, and their cultural impact is still felt to this day, period. But 30 for 30, I'm not sure if the Fab Five was a 30 for 30, but the 30 for 30 that is my answer was, I think it's called The Best That Never Was, the story about Marcus Dupree. He was a running back at Oklahoma, and really intriguing because, again, it was a little young for me. I think he was there in early to mid 80s, and obviously I would have only been, you know, 6 or 7 years old. I had never heard of him. But what really intrigued me was I actually just put it on, and really interesting story came from nothing in Mississippi. And when Barry Switzer looks into a camera and says, that is the best player I've ever recruited or had play for me, just talent-wise, that really should strike an ire, and I definitely wanted to hear more, and it's a really interesting episode. So that's a good one. So that'll be my answer, the Marcus Dupree 30 for 30. I really do, without cheating on the Google machine, I think it's called The Best That Never Was, because obviously I think he ended up with knee injuries and stuff, and now he's back in with his family in Mississippi and has just a job like I do. Run Ricky Run is another one. That's a great one. Ricky Williams. Best advice for someone starting a softball team. Okay, so starting a team, the best advice is make sure everyone pays if you got to collect. But if you're doing, in all seriousness, if you're doing a more serious tournament style team, my best advice for you is figure out right away, are you playing with your friends? Are you playing to get better? Because I have no problem playing with friends. I love playing with friends. That's where I'm at now in my age and experience and having finally crossed off goals that I've met. I'm all about fucking around and having fun, whether it's Grady's Misfit Toys or what have you, what other goofy name we can come up with, and just go drink some pops, talk a little shit, and have some fun at a dirt tournament. I have no problem with that. But if you're on a more serious vein, you got to figure out, do you want to play with your friends or do you want to get better? Because they don't always go hand in hand. If you're going to run a serious team, you need to face the fact that you may have to, and more than likely will have to, cut your friend. Is it worth it? Is it worth a true friendship? It's up to you. It's my best advice. Decide right away what your direction is. And even maybe have a conversation with that guy or gal. Hey, look, here's where we are now, but understand this is where I want to go, and have a vision for your team. So that would be mine. Next, this is an interesting one. If you could delete one show forever, which would it be? Show forever. It was when I was on Zcast, so it is technically deleted forever, thankfully. Actually, I think I have the raw file on my computer, and I'm not going to release it again, but I did it was a cast about bats, and obviously my opinion of different bats, and I buried one of the manufacturers, and I heard from them afterwards, and then when Carl and I had a chat, I heard from them again, though we didn't name them, didn't imply them, nothing. I don't want to delete Carl's episodes, because I really was proud, especially the most recent one we did this year. But the one show I would delete forever, and I may delete it off my computer, is a show I did about talking about the bats and different manufacturers and who was good and who was absolute junk. And there was somebody that I totally buried, and I've said it to people in person who the company is and was, and we're going to leave it at that. So if you know, you know. If you don't, sorry, I'm not going to say it again. What is something low key drives you nuts? rant away. I'll tell you one that came up the other day. Condiment packets that don't have expiration dates on them. It totally freaks me out. Like, for real, condiment packets, I of course I'll use them here and there, like Taco Bell fire sauce is money, Chick-fil-A sauce. I don't remember if Chick-fil-A sauce has a date on it or not, but typically you look, now, and maybe I'll freak you out too and you're going to be more conscious, but hey, everybody got to stay safe out there, especially in their drive-through endeavors or gas station or what have you, but whether it's mustard packets, mayonnaise packets, these damn things never have an expiration date on them. How the hell do you know how long they've been sitting there in the bucket? It's a risk. It's an absolute assumed risk we all take, and I think it's completely undervalued in public safety. So condiment packets without dates on it would be my answer to that, and I'm still wound up about it, but I'm going to move on. Find it here. All right, let's see what is next. Who is a younger player to keep an eye on? Shout out to my boy Lance Hansen. Good young talent. Turns out he's like 30 years old, 28 or 30. Let me see. I'm actually going to peek at it while I'm looking. And I'm also at the same time thinking of somebody to... let's see. Lance is 20. He's 27. Not too bad. But 27 is not too bad. Younger player. He is 24 years old. Going to sound obvious, but it's very true. CJ Newman. He plays shortstop / middle for Omaha's Finest. Yeah, I know he's on Omaha's Finest, but he's 24. Sky's the limit for the kid. This is like his first year of organized softball. Absolutely fantastic talent. He is right now, I think he's a fall out of bed 700 guy, just whacks it, hits leadoff, good speed. He's a firefighter. He's a paid hero. So I'm big on firefighters. Anybody having anything to do with volunteer full-time firefighting, I'm all for you. Let me know how I can help you guys in any way. So my answer to that question would be CJ Newman. Fantastic young talent. Sky's the limit for the kid too. Let's see. How about give us a fast food hack? All right, here's one. And I've mentioned it, and I know there's another decent fast food hack Instagram, or I'm sure there's a few of them, but my fast food hack, here you go. You go to McDonald's, all right? You order a double quarter pounder with cheese, but you ask them to make it like a Big Mac. So they put the quarter pound patties on the Big Mac. Chef's kiss. You are welcome. That would be my one right away. And a guy I used to know back in the days, he's since passed on, but he was the one that laid that one on me, and I went and tried it, and it's real deal. So if you're a McDonald's person, give that one a shot. Let me know. Another one that I saw, speaking of McDonald's, I don't know how this wasn't a more obvious one, but you get like it's a 20-piece, and I think they do it all in one box, or if they give you two 10-piece boxes, however they do it, but you get the buffalo sauce, you dump it in, and then you shake it in the box, make yourself some buffalo chicken McNuggets, or another real solid one I actually saw on that Instagram feed and tried is... you get a 10 or 20 piece McNugget and you get a side of pickles. And what she was doing is biting off the end and like shoving them in the breading or whatnot. But man, you even throw them on top. Chicken McNuggets and pickles are on point. So those are my McDonald's fast food hacks. Again, double quarter pounder with cheese. Ask them to make it like a Big Mac. Most of the time they'll, okay, cool, no problem. Sometimes it's a little iffy, but it's always definitely worth a shot. And then the buffalo sauce, kind of use the box as like a toss bowl, get the buffalo sauce all over the chicken McNuggets or the pickles with the chicken McNuggets. Real deal. Okay, last couple here I'm going to wind down with. And again, thank you so much for sticking with me. Podcast related, one will kind of go into the other. What do you think of the boom in podcasts since you've started? I think it sucks, and I'll tell you why. And I'm not talking about people like myself or even Man versus Model or Big Red Therapy, the local guys, or Trayvon Bear, his real spit. I'm not talking about us quote-unquote amateurs. I'm all for it. Those are the grassroots of what podcasting is and should be, frankly. It's all these dipshit pseudo-celebrities who think it's like a source of revenue. It is not. And frankly, it fucked with mine. I'm going to say this. There are people who are fully sponsored, have all this top dollar equipment, and me sitting here with my $30 microphone and my, you know, Zoom H6 recorder, I sound 10 times better than theirs that try and have producers and full staffs behind them. But yet they generate revenue. So what the way it used to work is, and again, this is something that I'm very beholden to, okay? My platform is not monetized, or I should say it's not behind a paywall, okay? So when I started doing it, and it's not why I was doing it, for every 1,000 downloads you would do, you'd get like $10. And then there was a tier where, if you allow us to throw in commercials, here's a little more, blah, blah, blah. That's all gone away. Because now it's kind of like Subway. You know, yeah, you can't get a fucking Subway sandwich for under $10 because they're paying Steph Curry and the other 10 bullshit artists to pimp in their commercials. So anyway, it ruined what little monetary access we had without monetizing the platform, which, again, not my style. I want you to listen and enjoy, and they get enough for distribution. But that being said, that I really don't care for, because again, podcasting started out as a community, and it really is. You do mine, I do yours, you help promote mine, I help promote yours, and we all try and lift each other. Rising tides raise all ships. Now, not so much the case anymore, and it's not even cutting into my analytics. Anyone who knows me, I do this because I love it, and it's therapeutic for me, full disclosure. I talk to the people I want to talk to for as long as we feel like talking. Peek behind the curtain, like Ben's show, for example. Yeah, we went on for like 3 hours, had a great chat. I'd do it again tomorrow if he wanted to. I had 5 bullet points that I wanted to hit with him that I made sure we talked about. Zach's conversation was incredible. Definitely wanted to just talk about his dad. That was really the only thing I wanted to do, was have him talk about his experience with losing his dad, because I just wanted to do that for him as a friend. And the rest was just off the cuff, like, you know, Pujols happened to hit number 700. But as far as the boom in podcasting, I mean, it's the same as anything else. Whatever seems hip, everybody gets into, and that doesn't become so cool anymore. I knew something like this was coming. Because again, you know, people lack creative ideas, and they just see something, and you know, especially big companies just see something and try and gravitate towards it. Again, oversharing. I had someone try and approach and not really buy the podcast, but like absorb the podcast, the NoCo show, and it was hilarious. Like, they wanted the rights to everything. They wanted a final edit, final cut. They wanted to sell advertising on it. It was just fucking wild. And it's like, so you want me to do all the legwork, and then you want, it's just, there's a really great clip. I'm going to share it sometime, but if you can find it, it's Bill Burr and Joe Rogan talking about the finances of podcasting and stuff. And I'll leave it to them, 'cause they're the pros, but very similar experience, obviously not to the scale. I've never compared myself to either of those guys. I think they're absolute masters at their craft. But again, relating that back to my own experience, yes, on a smaller scale, everything they said is absolutely true. All these companies, you know, I'm not even going to name them, because again, they all listen and they're all part of the machine, and I don't need the fucking hassle in my life right now. So I won't name any specific podcasting conglomerates, and I'll leave it at that. I'm sure those who do listen to a few understand exactly what I mean when I say conglomerates, where, you know, you'll see a brand with a lot of podcasts under it, and, you know, more independence, quote unquote, like I said, myself, Trayvon, man versus model guys, and Big Red Therapy, the local guys, definitely a different animal. So I don't like it because, again, it's gotten away from what I feel is the true spirit of podcasting, which is help me help you. Let's help each other. Rising tides raise all ships. I'm definitely going to stick to that with my approach and go down swinging for that. So that would be my long-winded answer to that. And last but not least, what would be your advice for anyone starting a podcast? Okay. One, there's no money in it. If you think there's revenue generated out of it, you're sadly wrong. I do pretty damn well, and I'm very thankful for all of it. As far as numbers that I've, okay, I know what my analytics are. I just don't care because there's no formula to going viral. There really isn't. Just stuff goes viral. I mean, it's all algorithms and whatnot. But point being, I'm very thankful and proud of the feedback, good and bad, that I get on the show because it means you're listening either way or someone listened either way. And I'm thankful for that. And the relationships I've met, so many incredible, amazing people, Grady absolutely being at the top of the list. But so, again, like people like Schultz, and, you know, I knew Luke a little, you know, I knew Luke before, but just so many wonderful people and supportive people, and garnered closer friendships because of it. So I have everything to thank for this, and that's payment enough for me. Don't really need to sell advertising, but if anybody wants to, hey, it's so funny. If you do, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have an ad rate. It's whatever you find, whatever value you find in it. Really? What do you value my show? And it's not insulting. It's just to each their own. Any deal is comprised of two parties who agree on trade or value. Something is only worth what one person is willing to pay the other for it. Period. Anything. Pay or barter. And that being said, so if it's money that's on your mind, don't even bother. But be true to yourself. Be you. Know what you want to talk about. Know who you want to talk to and for how long and when you can do it and all the analytics and, or I'm sorry, the logistics, not analytics. Don't be a stat rat. Be about, you know, your success and let it grow naturally. Nothing is promised. Those would be my big piece of advice. Do it because you like doing it. Do it because there's something you want to talk about, whatever the subject is. That's still the one nice thing about podcasting is, for the most part, other than, you know, you can't violate free speech or slander people or, you know, violate, you know, like I said, free speech laws, like there's certain things you can't talk about and shouldn't talk about, or people, you know, about others. But other than that, it's free reign. You can cuss, you can share your opinion, you can share your ideas, and it's out there for the world to hear and interact with. And I think that's the wonderful thing about it, is that we all have a voice. I've created a voice. I want to give you all a voice. I try and directly or indirectly give everyone a voice or your opinion a voice, just like this Ask Jake Anything. I hope it has been. And yeah, that would be my advice. Do it because you're passionate about something and you want to share it. And, or if you, again, if you see an idea, make it your own. Again, I've fully credited Joe Rogan for the format and the style of what I wanted to do when I got into podcasting. I only really listen to his anymore if it's his guest catches my ear. You know what I mean? Which again, if any of my shows catch your ear or your interest, please enjoy. I hope you do. Or if you decide not to listen, that's okay too. Again, I'm not driven by, you know, I don't. That's why the shows are few and far between. I mean, life comes first, and I'm not sorry for that. Would I like to do more? Yeah. I'd feel a lot better if I did more, but it hasn't panned out that way. And for those who've stuck around, thank you's not enough. For those who've gone away, I hope you enjoyed it while you were around, or maybe give me another shot. But again, it's not what drives me. Your passion should drive you, and this is my passion. And again, as I wind things down and quit rambling, thank you again very much for the comments, the feedback, the emails, the texts, the DMs, pics or otherwise, the tweets. I'm a Twitter guy. Love me the Twitter. Can find me. No Coast, once again, proving that it is absolutely the best coast. Bye-bye.